Hello and welcome to the Mixed Media Audio Zine for Summer 2013. This is DJ Frederick. I'll be reading from several zines, doing a couple of zine reviews, and playing some very cool indie music. Mixed Media Audio Zine is available for download from radioforall.net or by mail from DJ Frederick, 36 West Main Street, Warner, New Hampshire, 03278. I'm going to start off this edition of the audio zine reading from Fade Away number 35, which is a fanzine devoted to science fiction and related fields of interest, and it's created by Robert Jennings, 29 Whiting Road, Oxford, Massachusetts, 01540. Copies of Fade Away are available for a letter of comment, a print fanzine in trade, or subscription of $18 for 6 issues. So in this particular issue of Fade Away, which just arrived in my mailbox, there is a very interesting article from my perspective called The Most Disastrous Radio Premium Promotions of All Time. And I'm going to read some of this article. In the fall of 1954, Chicago ad man Bruce Baker with the Wary Baker & Tilden Agency came up with an idea. The gimmick was that Quaker would buy a relatively inexpensive piece of land in Sergeant Preston's own Yukon Territory, then give away deeds to 1-square-inch parcels from a box top from either Quaker puffed wheat or rice. Exactly one day after suggesting this, Baker, along with a Quaker company representative and Baker's brother John, who is a lawyer, were on their way by air to the Canadian Northwest Territories. There they met with Canadian lawyer George Van Rooten in Whitehorse, who assured them that the scheme was perfectly legal under Canadian law. He had located a piece of land that would meet their purposes and agreed to take them to Dawson to look over the property. When the four finally arrived in the town of Dawson in the Yukon Territory, wearing 3-piece business suits and planning on buying a piece of government land, they set off speculation about a brand new gold strike, and a miniature gold rush ensued, with rumors lingering through the rest of the winter. Why else would people dressed like that be in the backwoods town like Dawson, population 836, if it wasn't to buy a gold claim? Trouble began when the representative from Quaker Oats insisted on actually seeing the property. Although parts of the river were already frozen and slushy, they were able to find a Canadian Mountie named Paul Lacroix, who was familiar with Sergeant Preston program, and who was willing to bring them up to the land site on the river in his boat. The temperature was below zero, with a brutal wind whipping along the river. Just as they reached the property they had purchased, the Mountie's outboard struck a submerged rock and nearly swamped. The motor was damaged, but luckily Dawson was downstream. They were able to maneuver around the ice floes and float back to town after being nearly frostbitten and having gotten a very brief look at their newly acquired real estate. The intrepid little group returned, and the premium plan moved ahead. Several million deeds were printed, and in January 1955, newspaper ads heralding the event appeared in scores of major newspapers blanketing the nation. Simultaneously, on the 21st of January 1955, the radio show announced the promotion. Sergeant Preston fans had to buy any box of the sponsor's cereals, including Quaker shredded wheat and Muffets, then send in the box top to receive their square-inch deed through the mail, a classic radio TV promotion offer. Quaker sent out those deeds for just a box top. No handling fee was required. Charging any sort of handling fee would have meant the company was selling actual real estate and not just handing out a free premium. Meanwhile, millions of specially marked boxes of Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice were flying off the shelves of grocery stores across the country. The company ran into trouble right away. In February 1955, 1 month into the promotion, the company was blocked from trading the deeds for box tops by the Ohio Securities Division unless it received a state license authorizing them to sell and deal in foreign real estate. To get around the injunction, the Quaker company stopped the mail-in offer and began packing the deeds inside of the boxes of cereal. At that point, the real nightmare began. Hardly had the specially marked boxes hit the grocery shelves when the phone calls and letters began coming in. People wanted to know if the deeds had any actual value, whether gold was really on the claim, exactly where their 1 square inch was located, and on and on and on. There were people who amassed hundreds of the deeds, hoping to get enough territory to actually control a real gold-bearing claim in the Yukon. And that's from The Most Disastrous Radio Premium Promotions of All Time by Robert Jennings from his fanzine Fade Away number 35. To hear the whole story, please write and get yourself a copy of this. Send him a few dollars. It's a fantastic zine. And the address is Robert Jennings, 29 Whiting Road, Oxford, Mass., 01540. And it's definitely time for some tunes. This is a band called Kite.
If you write it off with your own. no one in their right mind would say to you the things I do, truly do, truly do. Heart strong, giddy up, my darling, won't you?
With Fill My Glass from the compilation Well, I Don't See Why Not, Volume 1, available from MsValerieParkDistro.com. It's about time for the return of 1 Minute Zine Reviews. I'll talk about a couple of zines that I've enjoyed reading recently. One is called After, Volume 1, December 2012, by Chris Campbell and Katie Rissy. So after reading After Volume 1, I can only hope that there will be a Volume 2. After embodies creative energy in paper and print, a beautiful, substantial project merging artistry, narrative, and design. The note that I received with this scene reads, "It's a stream of consciousness collection of stories and thoughts and art about the future. We've been creating stuff under the After umbrella for a while now and plan to make a book of vignettes as well as an installation piece that expands upon some of the ideas in the zine. All art design is by Katie and all of the writing is by Chris." Well, this issue starts off with a speculative short fiction that grabbed my attention titled September 29th, 2039. Which is a glimpse into where society may be evolving or devolving to. And a poem that begins, "There is a vacancy now," is one of the most striking poems I've read in the past year. So After is highly literate and highly recommended, and you can check it out at societynationalindustry.com. I've never described a zine as a page-turner until now. I read Piltdown Lad number 7, The Murky Realm, in one sitting. I was literally unable, as the cliche goes, to put the zine down. Why? I love writing that explores the mysteries of family origins through the distance of time and a personal lens. Kelly DeSaint is an agile storyteller who relates the circumstances of his parents' meeting and their tumultuous relationship. The Saint's unfolding of his mother and father's early life, their courtship, and his father's experiences as a veteran and life with his friends is meticulously crafted and absolutely fascinating. His parents' emotional landscapes are vividly explored through letters written between them and DeSaint's creative engineering. It's nuanced, it's honest, The Murky Realm is on my must-read list, and that's available by mail from Kelly DeSant. Send a few bucks to P.O. Box 86714, Los Angeles, California, 90086. Once again from the compilation, Well, I Don't See Why Not, that was the band Yes Please with a song called Crucial Things. As a change of pace, I'm going to read an essay from one of my own zines, Night Train to Mundo Fine, Volume 11. This is called Noise. Lying is natural in our deteriorated culture. In the media, we witness people like Jodi Arias or Melissa King lying blatantly, not to mention hundreds of others who the media shines their attention on. Some of them probably even believe their own lies. They're living in a distorted reality, having been brought up to engage in the continuous fantasy of their inner world and to do whatever it takes to maintain an idealized self-image. If we don't disengage from this mindlessness, the consequences for our relationships, our children, our environment, and even our species will ultimately be devastating. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, sexual predators live in their own fantasy world, one in which it is normal, quote-unquote, to fixate upon and objectify children without a thought for the potential lifelong pain and harm that they inflict on loving, innocent beings. When gas company executives fantasize that burrowing miles underground and fracturing bedrock, or that blowing tops off of mountains for coal harvesting causes no harm, they are creating irreparable harm to the planet that we rely upon for sustenance. When we hunt out, fish out other species to the point of extinction, we commit genocide. It is specious to think otherwise. Even if you buy into that old biblical chestnut of God gave man dominion over all the animals, dominion does not equal domination. Other living beings are not our property to do with what we wish. Other living beings, like other humans, are not property at all. Peter Thomas, visionary of the Zeitgeist movement, says we are suffering from a values disorder. We live in a culture where our values are so dysfunctional, we believe the dysfunction to be the acceptable, natural state of things. None of this happened overnight, and it has been a slow simmer coming to a boil for decades, perhaps even centuries. We may not agree with the Luddites, but they certainly knew where their values were. What I'm getting at is this. We are surrounded by and embedded in walls of noise. Noise that distracts us from our true natures, from centering and connecting with our core selves. The computer is noise. The television is noise. Endless celebrity worship is noise. Attention paid to foolish, ultra-wealthy people like Donald Trump, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, etc. is noise. Windbag talk show hosts on the radio are noise, whether you agree with them or not. Noise is what pulls us out of ourselves and places an emphasis on ideas, concepts, and people that we have absolutely no direct connection with. Does what Lady Gaga wears affect my life? Not in the slightest. Yes, we distract ourselves to death. We know more about Justin Bieber than we know about our next-door neighbor or the farmer who grows the crops that tends the animals that nourish us. So my goal for the coming year is to quiet the noise, to stop aimlessly surfing websites, to stop listening to NPR and other talk radio, to tune out the hollow and energy-sucking device we know as television. At the same time, my goal is to learn how to be present wherever I may be, in both comfortable and anxiety-provoking situations. And that's going to wrap up the Mixed Media Audio Zine for summer 2013. We're going to cruise out with a tune by the Golden Boots. This is Yuma. Thanks for listening.